الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله we've gathered again today for the purpose that was explained last week in quite a lot of detail and that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in this world and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us for a purpose. He's not just created us without any goal or any purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran al-Kareem very clearly outlines our purpose. Purpose. Our Islam is not just a religion of rituals or cultural beliefs, but Islam is a very practical, user-friendly. It is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our Islam very clearly lays out our purpose. Our deen is driven by purpose. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your actions are according to intentions. So intentions are purpose. So Allah Ta'ala in the Quran al-Kareem tells us very clearly to mankind his reasoning for creating this noble creation. And he asks mankind to look around, look at the rest of the creation, look how Allah Ta'ala has made it subjugated under your control. Look at how you benefit from all, look at the clothes you're wearing today. Many of the clothes here that we'll be wearing that are seen as pristine clothing, as the top-end clothing, they'll have fur or at least elements of their covering that comes from the skin of animals, because man-made leather cannot compare with real leather, and so on and so forth. And the food that we eat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has again made them a source of benefit for us there as well. The greatest source of iron that you find in any food is found in many liver meats, okay, and red meats. So this Nizam Allah Ta'ala has created, but he's given insan this aql and intellect, and he says, ask mankind to ponder, why did I create you in the first place? So in Surah, in the Quran, Surah Qaf, Allah Ta'ala mentions that He has not created mankind and insan and jinnat for any purpose other than liya'budun, so that they may do His ibadah. Okay, and this word ibadah, again, as I said, Islam is a deen which is practical. Islam is a deen which is encompassing. So ibadah includes your prescribed worship, so your salah, your zakah, hajj, umrah, all these sort of things, they're all included within ibadah. But ibadah, the reality of ibadah is to humble yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not, jazakallah khair, to humble yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not be arrogant in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the asal and the original meaning of ibadah. And in the Quran, Allah ta'ala talks about, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي. Those who do istighbar, takabbur from my worship. So takabbur is the opposite of ibadah. So there, what salah does, the Quran al-Kareem mentions, is اتنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. Salah's role, as well as other things, is to stop you from outwith of salah falling into fahsha and munkar, into evil deeds, immoral deeds, so that your whole life becomes an ibadah. So then how does our life become an ibadah? Allah Ta'ala is wara'ul wara'. He's we cannot comprehend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's being. Okay, just as if you have an old cassette player and you try and stick in a 4K CD in there, it just cannot operate that. It cannot it cannot play that. It has no ability to run that data. So where are we? Where is our mind and our aql, and where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ultimate being? Far, far beyond our comprehension. So there Allah Ta'ala then, through His sheer mercy and benevolence, He sent to us prophets, anbiya. And He said that though these are human beings in their external body, but internally and their actions are such that if you follow them, then you pleased me. You fulfilled your purpose. And if you fulfill your purpose, then subhanAllah, very simply the Quran mentions that if you say, Rabbun Allah, my Rabb is Allah, you surrender before Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ, and then you are firm upon this, and you are steadfast on this, and whatever comes your way, difficulties, trials, whatever comes your way in terms of different commands from Allah Ta'ala and different injunctions of your life, if you say Rabbun Allah each time and you stay firm on that, and you don't fall short, and you don't, when you make a mistake, you come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then these people, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ. When death comes, then angels will descend upon such people. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Saying that now the test is over, don't fear and don't grieve. Fearing and grieving, the link between these two is that what's to come ahead, there's nothing to worry about. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, and don't grieve over what you've left behind. Everything that you left behind has all been khair for you. وَأَبَشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. Glad tidings of that Jannah which we were promised. And he goes on, the ayats go, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ, the angels will console this person at this very difficult time, saying that we were your allies in the dunya and we will be so in the hereafter as well. And for you and now in the hereafter is whatever your heart desires, whatever you ask for. No matter how rich a person is in this world, he cannot get these blessings. Nobody can get everything that he wants, and nobody can get it instantly. Because the world is finite. The resources are finite. So there's no way, there is an end and a limit to what you're able to acquire. No matter how rich, influential, famous a person might be, how much control he might have, there's limit to the resources that are in this world. But the hereafter is limitless. So this is what happens when you make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased and you fulfill the purpose for which you were created. So for that, Allah ta'ala made it very easy for us. He said that I've sent you a messenger who is uswatun hasana. His role model, his life is a role model for you in every aspect. So if you want to find guidance on what do I do in this thing in my life, Allah ta'ala sent this messenger. And don't take him lightly. Don't think that because he's a human being. This is what the kuffar did. They said, مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامُ وَيَنْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. Instead of thanking Allah for this great blessing and this great Nabi that he sent amongst them, they said that, how is this man special? When he eats and drinks, يَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ, he walks in the market. Yeah, dood ande, he needs to go and get from the shops. He's living a normal life like the rest of us. He has to sleep as well. But then this was, Allah Ta'ala says, this was my rahmat upon you, that he was just like you and he fulfilled and he showed you how to live a life according to my pleasure. So this was the Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And these gatherings are for us to reconnect with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and keep our bond strong and inshallah to make it grow. Last week we spoke about especially the virtues related to the sunnat and the virtues related to salat and salam, durood sharif on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the innumerous blessings that are there, and we in detail explained the ayat of the Quran al-Kareem from which the obligation is derived from, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, indeed Allah and his angels, they send peace and salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O you who believe, send peace and salutation, salat and salam, durood sharif upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's all recite durood sharif one time since we recited the ayat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. So this ayat had in this week, Sheikh explains that this is a very unique hukum, because in this one Allah Ta'ala himself has said that he and his angels are engaged in their own way in this same act. So O you who believe, you join into this act as well. A very, very unique hukum. And we're just going to continue on from where we left off last week. The only thing I want to reflect on from last week till today, because we sit in these gatherings, alhamdulillah, there's a lot of benefit. Angels come, they put wings over them. And if we sit for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, these gatherings where Allah Ta'ala's name is mentioned are so blessed that they're angels that not only find these places, but Allah Ta'ala asks his angels. Because the hadith mentions that if you remember Allah by yourself, individually, Allah remembers you in himself. Meaning, to individually. And if you remember Allah Ta'ala in a gathering, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers you in a gathering far better than your gathering. What are we? In 50, 60 years, how many of us will be around? We'll be reduced to dust. But that gathering of the angels and the pure beings, your name is mentioned there if you sit in these gatherings where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is taken. So, these are the... But however, thereafter, we also have to keep in mind that the reminder is there for us to bring into action, inshallah. So let's reflect on the last week that's gone by, especially the day of Jummah. How much durood sharif are we reciting? So this is something to work on, inshallah, that every week we have our set targets of our adhkar, and durood sharif is an essential part of that, and we try and grow with that as we go forward. What is growth and what is kathrat? So Shaykh Gangohi rahimahullah was asked that, what do you mean by kathrat dhikr and kathrat durood sharif? So he said that kathra of dhikr, which Allah Ta'ala commands in the Quran, is that what you're doing yesterday is less than what you're doing today. So you're growing. When you look back, you see that I've made progress. Because you don't call someone rich, that person who makes the same amount of money all the time. That person is known as rich, or he's known as growing, he's known as progressing in the world, whenever he is making more income now than he was in the last year. And when year on year, this person's business is expanding. Nobody calls a stationary, stagnant piece of work something that's growing or something that's great or something that is kathir. So kathir means that you work on this and try and grow. So we'll just continue on here with the fadail that are mentioned by Hazrat. And essentially, the benefit of mentioning fadail is that they serve as an engine and an eye-opener for what we can acquire from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures. That's the main purpose of it. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. So last time, We just ended on where Shaykh mentions that the Allah Ta'ala had commanded Adam the angels to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, but he didn't say himself that the angels were doing so before. But here Allah and his angels are engaged in sending salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So then Hazrat Shaykh continues that scholars have noted that the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is referred to as Nabi in this verse, rather than being mentioned by his name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as is the case in other prophets who have been mentioned by name. This is out of extreme respect and esteem of the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In one place, the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam have been mentioned together. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned by name, whilst the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as Nabi. Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna awla an-nasi bi Ibrahim lalladhina taba'uhu wa hadha an-nabiyyu walladhina amanu wallahu waliyyul mu'minin." Whenever the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been mentioned by name, he has been mentioned so far for a specific reason. So Allama Sakhay rahimullah discusses this point in detail, and I don't think it's going to go into the detail here, but essentially this point here is very special as well, about again the rank of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The reality of the matter is, respected brothers and listeners, is that we cannot appreciate the rank of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We truly cannot. It's far beyond comprehension. What we have though are small indications that we can think about and appreciate. And so what that serves for us is a reminder of the need for us and where we should be pursuing our efforts. Our efforts should be in slowly, it won't be a one day, it won't be you won't turn them into a millionaire overnight. It's a slow, gradual process where we need to look at pragmatically how can I improve my conduct in my day-to-day life so that's more in line with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the ultimate purpose. So you see all these little indications. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his lifetime was taken to Mi'raj, so up to the heavens. So Allah Ta'ala blessed him with this journey. And on that journey he met many prophets, as we know very, very famously. And before that he even led the Anbiya in Salah in Masjid al-Aqsa. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy, and may Allah Ta'ala send his help for our brothers that are there. And may Allah Ta'ala allow us to make use of the resources we have that he's given us so that we can be an asset to the ummah. But going forward, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was raised really, really high. And he got to a point where Jibreel Alayhi Salaam said that, O Nabi of Allah, even I can't go further than here. If I go, my being, my wings, everything will be destroyed. Only you can go past this point. This was the rank of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in other places, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, nobody can match them. I don't know if I mentioned this last week. Nobody can match the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in action. Doesn't matter what you do. Nobody can match the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The lowest Sahabi is at a level where the next one, the Tabi'i, can never match. Okay, in some businesses and in some organizations, you have a banding system. So the people that work at the top band, even if he's got the most basic roles, let's say there's eight bands to a job. So if you're at the eighth band, then you could be the lowest of the band eights, but the band seven, the highest of the band seven, can never ever come to your level. He'll never get the same salary as you as a band eight. So this is a similar situation with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that Allah Ta'ala had chosen them, and they made a lot of sacrifice. It wasn't easy for them, but their rank became so high. Why? Because they saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they passed it with iman. That's it. Just the being of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being their life blessed them so much. And if we follow their way, Allah Ta'ala says that, don't worry, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Allah Ta'ala said that he's radiallahu anhum. He's pleased with the Sahaba and they're pleased with Allah Ta'ala. That's the ultimate certificate anybody could ever wish for. And Allah Ta'ala then says, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ to mankind, to يوم القيامة, whoever follows their way in good, then Allah Ta'ala will give them the same license as well. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. The way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So you see all these little indications about the being of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how exalted he is. So here, the one point here that Shaykh's mentioned is, if you pick up the Qur'an al-Kareem, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then look at how Allah Ta'ala addresses all the prophets. He has taken all the Anbiya by name. Adam alayhi salam's name is mentioned in the Quran. Nuh alayhi salam's name is mentioned. Lut alayhi salam's name is mentioned. Ibrahim alayhi salam's name is mentioned in many, many places. But if you look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's, you examine the Quran for him, when it comes to the message, the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's only referred to as Nabi of Allah. Allah Ta'ala has only called him by his title. This shows this honor and respect that he has in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you have your children, nobody addresses their children by titles. Okay, everyone calls a child by their name because of chota bacha. But sometimes when somebody gets to such a level, then even there, sometimes he gets given some titles. For example, the youngest child might be the most spoiled one, the one that gets the most love. So instead of being called by his name, he might be called Chotu, Dadla, something like this. So Allah Ta'ala has given these names to his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's called him Al-Habib. He's called him An-Nabi. And many other names as well. And you'll notice in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has only mentioned his Nabi's name wherever it is to prove a point. So Muhammadur Rasulullah. This comes in the Quran Kareem. That's there to prove very clearly, let there be no doubt, that this Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no other Nabi that's being referred to. Allah Ta'ala is addressing this Nabi of his. So this is another interesting point that we learn. It is worth noting here that the word Salat, okay, the next discussion here is very quickly about Salat and Salam. I've mentioned the ayat says that Allah Ta'ala and his angels send peace and salutations. So we obviously recite the Durushi from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all get that. But then what does it mean by Allah and his angels doing so as well? Is it the same way that we do it? Now, like, what's the... And Salah, doesn't Salah mean prayer? We often say Salah means prayer. So here Shaykh explains the details about the word Salah in this ayat. So it's worth noting here, the word Salah mentioned this ayat, and which has been attributed towards Allah and His angels and the believers, is a homonymous, a mushtarak word. Mushtarak is that word which has many meanings. Okay, so it has more than one meaning. So you say a word, but it could refer to different things. Whereby various objectives are achieved, as is stated earlier in Ruh al-Bayan. The ulama mentioned many meanings for the word Salah in this verse. In each place, the most appropriate meaning with respect to Allah, His angels and the believers will be meant. Some scholars have written that Salat upon the Prophet ﷺ means to praise and respect the noble Prophet ﷺ with mercy and affection. Okay, so this is when we're talking about relation to Allah Ta'ala. Furthermore, this praise and respect will be according to the rank and status of whoever the act of invoking Salah is attributed to. For example, it is said that a father is kind to his son, and that a son is kind to his father. Okay, so same word, being kind to the father to his son, son to the father. Or that brothers are kind to one another. Here it is obvious that the kindness shown by a father to his son will differ to that shown by a son to his father, and the kindness brothers show to one another will be totally different. Okay, so this is something to keep in mind. Okay, when one person says that I'm going to give you something, then you look at who is the person that's saying he's going to give it. So it's a friend, you know what to expect. If it's the king, if it's the prime minister, then you have your hopes a bit high. So when Allah Ta'ala is doing salat and salam, it's a different, of course, when this is the makhluq and the khaliq. So there's no comparison. Likewise, Allah Ta'ala is conferring salah upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which means he is praising and honoring him with mercy and kindness. The angels are also sending salah. However, the salat, mercy and honoring of each one is according to their respective status. Thereafter, the believers have also been ordered to invoke blessings. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, narrates from Abu al-Aliyah that the meaning of Allah conferring salah is praising the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the presence of his angels, and the blessings of the angels are their prayers. Ibn Abbas has interpreted yusalluna as praying for blessings, yubarrikuna. And this goes on. Hafiz ibn Hajar says that this meaning complies with Abu Aliyah's opinion, except that it is more specific in context. Elsewhere, after mentioning the various meanings of Salah, Hafiz ibn Hajar says that Abu Aliyah's opinion is the most appropriate according to him. I.e. Allah Ta'ala's Salat is to praise the noble Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Salat of the angels and others is requesting Allah to confer Salah. Furthermore, this request is for an increase in the blessings already being conferred, not for the act of invoking blessings to be initiated. It is mentioned in a hadith that when this verse was revealed, the companion said, رَضِيَ عَنْهُمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, we know how to convey peace, yani salam, like we do in At-Tahiyyat, for example. Teach us how to invoke salah. The Prophet ﷺ taught the following, اللهم صلي على محمد وعلى آل محمد. And the Prophet, in other words, Allah Ta'ala ordered the believers to invoke blessings upon the noble Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The noble Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught the method thereof, to request Allah to confer his infinite mercies upon him forever, as Allah Ta'ala's blessings and mercies are boundless. It is also through Allah's mercy that the further blessings he confers upon the noble Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, due to our requests, are attributed to us, worthless servants, as though we had conferred them. Wherein in reality, it is Allah who is conferring blessings in every case. Otherwise, who is able to present the noble Prophet ﷺ with blessings befitting of his lofty status? So essentially what's happened, what Shaykh is explaining here, is that the fact that the word, some people question, they're not sure what the ayat is referring to. How can Allah, the angels, and the Muslims be doing the same thing? So Shaykh is saying that this is Allah Ta'ala's mercy that he has kind of put us into the same bracket as well. He's saying you guys can come in as well. However, it's a world apart. So when we do it, when Allah Ta'ala does it, He's actually conferring blessings. When we say those words, we are saying, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, right? So we are asking Allah, Allahumma, O Allah, send peace and salutation upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on our behalf. And then Allah Ta'ala gives it from him. Because obviously we cannot actually do anything. We cannot obviously give any benefit. So this is Allah Ta'ala's mercy that He's given us a way by which we can connect and we can acquire the blessings of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And again, because his rank is so high, through the barakat of this dua, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doesn't in that way benefit, but we benefit so much that there are hadith mentioned that 10 salahs have come back towards us. 10 mercies come towards us. 10 ranks of Jannah for us are increased. And 10 promotions in Jannah through just one durushif to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And so much more. So at least Mona Abdul Rahim Sa mentions at least 40-50 benefits are there by default. And then thereafter, according to your ikhlas and your talab, you get even more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability. In reality, there are two things here. One is the in terms of improving and getting tawfiq to increase in dhikr and durush sharif in general. One is the external barrier that's stopping us from doing dhikr. And that is essentially that we approach everything in life, if we're not able to do something, we train ourselves to get used to it. If you're not used to, you know, if you have a 2-hour exam to sit at the end of your course, you practice doing mock papers, you practice timed conditions, so that you can become accustomed to that. So we sit down, perhaps we know that we should do something, we might even have a tasbih in our hand, but we get tired because we haven't trained ourselves. So one aspect to do, one thing to do, is to make some targets, which is what I started with today, that I'm going to, no matter what, I'm going to hit my target of reciting this much durushi, this much dhikr, this much tilawa every single day. This way, you fulfill the haqq of the Qur'an, we can't say we fulfill the haqq, but we at least do something for the Prophet ﷺ, we do something for our akhirah, and Allah Ta'ala loves those deeds that are continuous as well. So one thing to do is to try and train ourselves to be able to do this. Focus on periods of time where we increase. The second thing to do is to increase the muhabbat and love of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so much that all those other desires that we might have in our nafs of things that are not of benefit to us, the fire of love can burn those things. Okay, just like when the sun comes, all the stars disappear. So if we acquire Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah ta'ala grant us his true muhabbat, if we acquire his muhabbat and the muhabbat of his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then what will happen is we will naturally find it easier and get tawfiq to do more good deeds and increase in our dhikr and ibadah and tilawah and everything else as well that goes along with that. So these gatherings and the purpose of this and reading, doing ta'aleem, is so we begin to, first of all, process it mentally, what in effect, what virtues there are over here, and by constantly mentioning them, then slowly, slowly, bit by bit, they will affect our hearts. Okay. Whenever one of our children, maybe, when you see them go and hang out with somebody new, and he comes home, or she comes home, and she starts doing something you've never seen them do, you know straight away that they've been with somebody different today. You know they've been in someone else's company. They've seen something today that's making them act a bit strange. I think it's just brothers here, so I can safely also say it's the same with our sisters and our spouses as well. We know that sometimes if we go somewhere or if a certain guest comes, sometimes you notice that there's a slight change in their temperament or their attitude. And that's simply just the effect of the company that we keep. So by sitting in companies, sitting with people who Allah Ta'ala has given and who have the burning love of Allah and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we can also take a little bit of that into ourselves as well. And that then becomes the engine by which these things no longer become so hard. But that becomes the engine by which when you hear people that are doing 100,000 times, 200,000 times rushif in a day, you think about it, you think, SubhanAllah, I can do it as well. Where there's a will, there's a way. And Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has in a way shown us in the society we live in. We see people working day in, day out, and absolutely exhausting themselves to make a couple of pennies. But when Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq and we understand the ni'mats and the pleasures of the hereafter and what we have there in store, and once we taste the sweetness of iman, then we keep coming back and we keep wanting it. We keep desiring and pushing for ourselves to grow and grow and go in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only way we can do that is by obeying and following the way of His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the tawfiq and may He grant us all the tawfiq to follow the way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, increase our durood sharif and follow the sunnah. And may Allah ta'ala grant us His love, His muhabbat and the muhabbat of His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Inshallah, we will recite some sigas of durood sharif that are taken from our hadith together. So as we recite it, obviously we're reciting it together, we should keep in mind that as I sit here, then my durood is being taken to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is hearing it in his grave. As the ahadith mentioned, the angels take it, not that he can hear here because he is not able to, but the angels take it to his grave, and then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam is responding to it. Okay, this is mentioned in hadith, but sometimes we don't keep this in mind, so this needs to be there as well, inshallah, so we can get more benefit. And then for the last couple of minutes before salah, then I mentioned today, we'll try inshallah to increase our focus. So we'll set ourselves individually and recite the Durood Sharif individually, inshallah, so that we can inshallah acquire the blessings. And the reason for Thursday night and Friday being the days where we do these gatherings and we recite the Durood Sharif together isn't that the other days are not important. We should do it every day. But specifically, there's a encouragement from the Prophet ﷺ in Ahadith that this night is a blessed night. So on this blessed Nurani night, then increase in your salat and salam, because there's added virtue in this night. It is presented to the Prophet ﷺ immediately and he responds. So these are the days, this night of Friday and the day of Friday is where we should inshallah try and increase it so much so, and take it home as well inshallah, and talk about these things at home, talk about it with our family. There's somebody in our area, so I live slightly in the edge of outskirts of Glasgow. There's somebody in our area, one of our young siblings, one of their friends in school. I think she was maybe 10 years old at the time, I'm not exactly sure. And subhanAllah, again, children, once they understand, they understand. Once she understood the blessing of Durood Sharif, she would go to primary school with a small tasbih counter in her hand. And whenever she got time, she would recite Durood Sharif. MashaAllah, she was, Allah Ta'ala blessed her through it. She also started, you know, Jamaat, and she never read herself, but she started Zuhr and Namaz in primary school, in her school, mashallah. And this young girl, who we know of in her family, she mashallah had the ziyarat and the meeting of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in her dream. She saw the Prophet, this is a story in Glasgow only a couple of years ago, and what did she do? Mashallah, just because she understood this Durood Sharif, she had the ziyarat in a young age. Now you imagine the rest of her life, she's tasted that once. So though there's not extra ajr, because these are things, dreams and things, you don't get extra reward for it because they're not in your ikhtiyar. All the things Allah Ta'ala has asked us to do are in our control, ikhtiyar. We only get reward for ikhtiyari a'mal. Ghair ikhtiyari a'mal, we don't get reward for. However, having seen this, then the rest of her life will be very, very different going forwards, now that she's seen that once. And how fortunate are her parents that their daughter has had this blessing. And what a sadqa jariyah she'll be for them as well going forwards. And what, may Allah Ta'ala protect her and protect all of our children, make them all pious. But what inshallah khandan and a family will she have when she grows older? So these blessings come from amal inshallah, and from us telling our children and our family members, because once they understand, a lot of the times they probably put us to shame as well. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Again, if you start by reciting Durood Sharif once, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadika wa salli ala. سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وأنت المنقد المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صلي على محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا اللهم صلي على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصلي على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صلي على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما رحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته وجزه عنا ما هو أهله وجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمتي وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل علينا معهم اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك علينا معهم صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على النبي الأمي 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 التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار
تحيات الله الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم اغفر لي واهدني التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله التحيات لله الصلوات لله الزاكيات لله السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله التحيات الطيبات والصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على 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 رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا اللهم لك الحمد ولك الشكر وإلهكم إله واحد لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا إله إلا هو سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك من نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين